Yeah, we're looking at Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 on Sunday morning for Sunday school as somewhat of a series for Christian disciplines. So what we're going to do on Wednesday evenings and provide a challenge for the young people, especially as they go back, as we pray, to challenge you in some things. And one of the things that will be emphasized as far as for Wednesday, but not just for the young people, but for all of us, it is a challenge because our flesh continues to keep us from this particular thing, and that is to see Christ in Scripture. We want to emphasize Christ in every aspect of who He is. He's both fully man and fully God. We see who Christ is in His humanity, but we'll also see Christ in His deity. If anything is true of goodness upon this planet, it's because Jesus fulfilled it in His humanity. If anything is contrary to that in evil that requires justice, we see it also in Christ, but we see it in Christ fulfilling that as He who received payment for the penalty that you and I deserve. He paid a debt He did not owe. We owe a debt that we cannot pay, and that's what we'll also see in the Psalms. So that is one of the particular challenges there. See Christ in Scripture, but there's a challenge that precedes that. I challenge you to read the Bible daily, as it says here in the Psalm, Psalm 1, if we're all there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, for the young people in particular, I understand that Sister Vicky has challenged you also to memorize Psalm 1. I urge you as well to continue to keep that psalm memorized. It's one of the first psalms that my children memorized, one of the first psalms I memorized, and for good reason. One, it's about Christ. And two, there are Christian disciplines, which we're learning in Sunday school. We're in our series in the Sunday school lessons of what those Christian disciplines are from verses 2 and 3. Now, Jesus Christ is that blessed man. We cannot be blessed unless Jesus Christ fulfilled the truth of verse 1 as the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The most blessed man who ever lived was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, his behavior was not such that it ever showed any trace of that which was ungodly. It was completely godly. And in fact, his counsel, if it were to come from men, it would make him ungodly. John chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25, at the end of John chapter 2, we have this very interesting statement, you know, after Jesus went to the wedding feast at Cana, and then at the feast of the Passover, well, I believe it's the feast of the Passover anyway, he was in Jerusalem and he turned over the money changers, which he did every time, I believe, every single time he was in Jerusalem. Not only every single time he was in Jerusalem, but every time he went into the temple, he turned over the money changers. It's no wonder that they wanted to kill him. He was doing this constantly, not just at the end of his ministry, but from the very beginning. And that shows you the hard-heartedness of men, that every time he turned over the money changers, they set those tables right back up again. And then he comes in and has to turn them over again. But John chapter 2 and verses 24 to 25, he says, It says of Jesus, he did not give himself over unto men, for he knew what was in man. Man cannot counsel God. It says so in the Psalms, as we'll end up seeing when we go through the Psalms. But Jesus could not receive counsel from men. He received counsel only from God, through the Holy Spirit, from God's Word. He did not stand in the way of sinners, as it says here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. He stood upon the gospel. That was the purpose in which Jesus Christ came. We understand standing upon the gospel from Ephesians, as we're Ephesians chapter 6, as we put on the armor of God. But the Old Testament speaks of it in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, and Paul quotes it in Romans chapter 10. As he speaks, and it's written down by Tertius, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. So this is true of us, that we have beautiful feet. We sing songs and hymns about our feet being beautiful. But it is only true of us because it was true of Jesus. And it was speaking in the spiritual sense. He probably had feet that were dusty quite often because there was no one washing his feet. He had to wash the feet of those who couldn't figure out who was going to wash one another's feet. But it is also... It is true of Jesus. It is fulfilled by him, according to Isaiah 52 and verse 7. He did not sit in the seat of the scornful, but instead sat and taught his disciples, as we know from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. The very first verse says that when he was in a crowd and there was his disciples, he sat down and taught them. That was the usual place of authority among the Jews. They have a place in the synagogues called Moses' seat. Usually it was made of stone, and when they read Moses, they sat down, just as Moses sat and judged among men until he was able to distribute authority on the advice of his father-in-law. But Jesus sat down. Why? Because it signified the authority that he has eternally. It was prophetic of that which would take place once he went to the cross. And the prayer was answered from John chapter 17, verse 5, when he prayed to his heavenly Father, restore me unto the glory that I once knew with you before the world began. And so he was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Because, as he said in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, all authority is given unto me. And now our challenge verse. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It says, by two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Jesus said that, quoting the law of Moses. And Jesus did fulfill this. Psalm 40 and verses 7 and 8 speak also of Jesus fulfilling this. He says, lo, in the volume of the book it speaks of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, it says in Psalm 40. In other words, that everything in the Word is about Jesus Christ. And because it's about him, the greatest joy he would receive as a man was reading about himself. We do so, but we do so in a perverse way. You know, have you ever noticed that when somebody takes a picture, the very first thing that you will look for is yourself? Have you ever noticed that? When you're reading about something like an article that takes place at school or some other place, the very first thing that catches your attention, you kind of speed read through everything else, but hey, there's that thing that speaks of me. But since Adam's fall, for us, it becomes a corruption. It's corrupt. It's self-serving. It's self-exalting. It's self-seeking. When Jesus sees it, when he sees the scriptures and he sees them as a man, and though still God, but as a man in his humanity, because he was perfect, when he sees the scriptures, he sees it illuminated with the light of God. He sees it illuminated with the purpose of heaven. And so when Jesus sees it, he sees it through perfect eyes. He sees it through a perfect soul that is humbled and given over perfectly unto his Father's will. And so when he sees it, and he fulfills it, both actively and passively, because it's about him, it's that truth that he has fulfilled that we lean upon and we grasp onto. And so when we see Christ in Scripture, we know it is still by God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit ministering unto us. It's truth of who he is. Because when we start attempting to do things apart from the truth that Jesus fulfilled it, it becomes a good work, a decent work, a benefit, but it's not that which advances the kingdom of heaven. It's not that which glorifies God. It must be filled with Jesus first and foremost, and full of Jesus continually, overflowing, pressed down, good measure, shaken together. That's the blessing. We see the mercy of God in Jesus as God shows us Jesus from the Scriptures. Jesus said that that's what one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit would do in the sevenfold work of the Spirit. In John chapters 14 to 16, he says, he will testify of me. So when we see the Scriptures, we recognize that when we see Christ in the Scriptures, you can know that the Holy Spirit is working with you, working in you, and provoking you and prompting you to see Christ in the Scriptures. And so you'll want to do that. That's one of the gauges that you'll have. Am I seeing Christ in it? And when you're seeing Christ in it, there is a miraculous truth that takes place in our lives. When we start seeing Christ in the Scriptures, we stop thinking about ourselves so much, and we start thinking about the things of heaven, the things of God. So that's my challenge to you. We may not cover much more in Psalm chapter 1. We only take little pieces of it, because my challenge continually to you young people especially, but to all of us who are children of God, we should endeavor, by God's grace, to read the Word daily. But read the Word daily with Christ in view. Read the Word daily with Christ exalted. Read the Word daily so that Christ not only is expressed from the Scriptures, but then we may act, we may be empowered, we may be encouraged by it so that he is glorified. All right. Are there any questions or comments?